Thanks, Pastor Jim and Margaret and Agnes gave me a call a little while ago. Was talking to me about some things you're doing here and getting to know your church a little better in the last little while here. But I just thank you for allowing me to be here today. And I grew up in the area here, and so I've got a lot of heart for the county and the churches here. I just want to say wow about this. I mean, wow, you guys are supporting a lot of missionaries. And back page, there's another list probably as long as the front one in there, and all the different things locally that you're a part of. And we're one of those local ministries. My claim to fame a little bit is meeting Alice this morning. She came up and said, is Kathy your wife? And I said, yes, she is. Well, I knew her mom when I held Kathy like this. And I go, are you kidding me? You can't be that old. But I actually think of the smallness of the body of Christ and the community that the body of Christ is. And we here in the county, I love what I do because I get to meet a lot of people across the county. And Dan Ritzman, who was one of the missionaries you support to Belgium, I knew him when he was like this, actually. He was a little boy. He went to the same church in Olala. I grew up down in Olala in the county, so I got roots that go back to the 1930s here in the county. And so, you know, when you have generational roots to an area, your heart starts to beat for what, God, what are you doing with these people here? What are you doing with my friends that I grew up with? Just had a class reunion here just a little bit ago, and a bunch of old people showed up at that reunion. I don't know what that was about, but, oh, I guess I'm old. That's how that works. So anyway, it's good to be a part of the body of Christ. And yes, what we do, and actually many local ministries, it's true whether you're in Spain or whether you're here, we need each other to do the ministry. I think of missionaries that go to a town and translate the gospel of John. You got this, the Baptist, the AG, and they're all sitting in their homes translating the gospel of John for a country. And they need to talk, and they learn to now talk to each other. You take this chapter, we'll take this chapter, and we'll actually work together and get the job done. That's kind of what we do. We partner with churches, we partner with local agencies, and let's bring you up to date a little bit on what we're doing. But let me just first of all share a little bit of the Lord's heart for our community, Lord's heart for people, and then a little quick report on some of the things we're doing, and then talk a little bit about what the real need is. But when Jesus started his ministry, he showed up in the little his hometown, actually, back to where he grew up in Nazareth. And he opened up his Bible. It was probably a scroll like this. And for some reason, it was opened to Isaiah 61. And he read these words. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted and to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to bring freedom to all those who are downtrodden and in prison, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he was basically saying, this is what my ministry is about. That's what he started his ministry with. And as I've read over that over the years, I go, that's us. This is what our ministry is to be. We carry this good news that can change lives. We're bumping into, whether you're in ministry or not, you're bumping into people who are brokenhearted. I mean, I won't ask you, but how many know people who, don't raise your hand. How many of you know people who are brokenhearted and not doing well, and their life is struggling? And at the same time, probably some of those folks are not turning to the Lord who can bring this healing, who can set them free, who are people who are blind. Yeah, they might be blind not seeing, but they are blind. They just don't see the wonderful good news of walking with the Lord. And that's what this church is about, many churches across our county. And so this is, to me, this is the heart of what our Christian walk should be, looking around, say, how can we bind up the brokenhearted? And we actually do have these keys that can set people free. I want to just kind of take a look at our county a little bit, and maybe some of you have grown up around here too, and go back a ways. But just ask the question, and ask the question of yourselves, how is our county doing? When I say, how is our county doing, how are the people that are here doing? And I just think back to the scripture. I mean, there's, you know, maybe some of us are doing quite well. Thank you very much. We've got, you know, a good job and kids are doing well and go to church and bring our kids to church. And pretty soon we begin to think that's how the rest of the world lives. And I bump into people, I mean, I'm out kind of stretching my boundaries. I was worship leader. I was on staff at our church for a number of years. And part of my heart is to get the church mobilized outside of the church. And as I look at this right here, I mean, that's what you got, a whole pile of stuff. It's backpack for kids and, you know, Children of the Nations and a lot of things that are you're a part of here that are out. It's out. It's out. And we need to get a sense of what it means to be out and to go out. But as you ponder the condition of those who are living in our county, I just want to ask it for us to grab our hearts. And what can we do to bring that good news and see people actually set free and no longer blind, no longer in prison with chains around them that they can't move, spiritual chains, sometimes physical chains. So let me just give you a little quick report card on our county. These figures are a little bit outdated. It's hard to get real accurate figures on this, but our population is right around 240,000 people. Almost a quarter million people in our county. Of those who attend church, and this is this ballpark, and this is probably high. Just kind of figuring, we sat down one time, went over all the churches, you know, average so many people, here's a big church, small church, and came up with approximately 36,000 who would attend church. I was talking with Jim this morning, but a lot of those aren't necessarily on church every week, but they have some connection, maybe have had a connection with the church. That's 15%, and I got to say, that probably is high. I don't know if you saw the report in the news the other day. I think it was on national news. Kitsap County was one of the least churched counties in the nation. Did you guys see that at all? It was the Bremerton Sun or Evening News or something. I'm going, wow, we made the news, woohoo, you know. But that's not the good news we want to hear. And you know, you hear these statistics, and the reality is we have so many people who've never darkened a church right here, let alone around the world. And no clue our children, many of our younger generation, I'll say, in out of high school, college age, young adults even now, don't really have a clue what Christianity is all about or even who Jesus is, because that we've lost our Christian foundation, our base of who we are. And so, yeah, there's a great need for us who are here in this room and for the church to be the church of action and to figure out strategies that we actually can connect with people and bring them this good news that can change their lives. Here's another one, the 73,000 of single-parent homes. I want to be silent for a second. 73,000 single-parent homes. That's almost a third of our community. Children with one parent. And I know some of you here maybe have gone through a divorce, maybe are divorced. Maybe you're one of those single parents. And I just commend you for your tenacity. Maybe you need, that was absolutely the right thing for you to do. But it's another level of brokenness that we need. And you've got Christian, those here, you've got this family. You found a greater family to be family to your children. And that's what the church needs to be. The extended family to our children. I'm glad I was able to raise my children in a Christian community. And they had all kinds of moms and dads. And we got all kinds of kids in their 20s and 30s, now 40s, that they call us mom and dad. I mean, we're mom and dad 1, 2, or 3, you know, and love that. That's family. That's what we need to be. But we've got a lot of folks in our community who don't have that family, which is really part of what we're trying to do, come alongside and be the family they never had or they're trying to get away from or never understood what family even looks like. And the last figure there, 24,000 that are living in poverty. And again, these figures are 3 or 4 years old here, probably with the recession, housing market, loss of jobs. And you can look at figures, or national figures, how the income levels have gone down, not up, in our society. And that puts an extra burden on families, and it, again, it's what we, part of what we do is to meet the physical and social needs. I'll talk about that in a minute. All that to say, we have kind of a silent crisis in our county of families that are in crisis. We have, there's single moms, children with no, largely no fathers. It's often it's the mom that will have the children in a single family situation. So many, many fatherless children. And a spiritual darkness, we've talked about that. And then families, and also just families that have lost jobs or unemployed or somehow got to this point where they're actually homeless. And so families with children, maybe children in cars. I mean, they just got, if you lost your job, and then pretty soon you think, oh my gosh, and you can't pay your rent, pretty soon you're out, and then you're in a motel, and pretty soon your last dollar's gone. And we've been involved with many different families, even mom and dad's or a grandma or maybe a little bit extended family. They were actually living in their car. It's like, wow, right here in Kitsap County. And it's true. It's just true because of life circumstances and life conditions. We've, in light of kind of the condition of our county and our, really our mandate as Christians to take care of the poor. I mean, I could have put a bunch of scriptures up on that one. But we are called to take care of the poor. We just are. And so we evangelical churches, and I'll say that, you've even got it in your name, there's piles of evangelical churches. And I'll just say this, over the last 30 or 40 years, we have missed the boat on our social responsibility. Government's taken over social services. Roosevelt, back in the 30s, created the New Deal and created a lot much of our social services. But I think the churches thought it was a good deal and kind of turned it over to government. That was a bad deal. It's actually our responsibility to take care of our neighbors and step in to do this. And your support of us and what you're doing in our community, I just commend you for that. So we have crisis. Over the last 7 years, and about 7 years ago, we started a ministry called One Church, and we call it One Church, One Family. It's a ministry to homeless families in the county. It was birthed about 7.5 years ago when the Hurricane Katrina was really a national disaster. I mean, talk about displacement of people and homelessness. Thousands and thousands of people, they lost their homes. And churches from here were loading up vans going down to help, and somehow people from there ended up here. And during that time, the mayor of Bremerton and the social services were overwhelmed. It was a national crisis. I mean, it was huge. And the mayor of Bremerton and social services in our county had all these families, didn't know what to do with them. And somebody on the city council said, how about if we ask the churches to help? And I don't know if you're a part of that, Jim, but there were a number of pastors in the area, Rick Glomstead, and I could name a number of pastors in the area that were meeting with the mayors and the city council downtown, and we'll take this family, and we'll take this one, and KCR, Kitsap Community, we'll help do some qualifying, and we'll get them food, and the food banks, and I mean, everybody's kind of working together to address really a national crisis that ended up in our backyard right here. And so we kind of, it was a crisis mode. We actually stepped up and did it. We helped a number of families right here and working together, talking together, and actually meeting the physical needs in the midst of a crisis. And we actually worked together, and it was actually pretty cool. With the churches, actually pastors were at the city council downtown Bremerton meeting in their chambers down there with city councilmen and government agencies. And they were in the same room looking at each other, and how can we work together to meet the needs? It's like, sweet, you know, that was pretty good. And I wasn't actively involved in that part of it. It was more kind of the Bremerton City Council and pastors in the area here. But out of that, some of you know Bill Robinson in the area, still in the area here as a regional ministry and good friend of mine. He, Rick Glomstead, Steve Wexler, and again a number of pastors in the area were said, they took a look at each other and said, how about helping our own homeless here? Yeah, we've helped these families that showed up here, but how about our own homeless? And out of that, they started meeting. They said, let's form a 501c3. Bill Robinson gave me a call. I'm in the South Kitsap area and really worked with Bill and a number of other pastors in some kind of regional ministries over the years, pastors' prayer summits, just a number of things we've done together that's really a call of the churches to also work together, for us to be talking to each other and know each other by first name. And when there's a need, we're there for each other. But out of that, they said, let's start our own 501c3 and help. What can we do to help homeless families here? You know, when you think of the idea of homelessness, I don't know what that, when you think about that, how you feel about that, but it's like homelessness. It's like, yes, there's people that are homeless, but kind of, for me, it's like overwhelming. What can I do? Yes, there are thousands and thousands of people that are homeless. It's almost kind of like world peace. You know, we do want world peace, but it's overwhelming as I sit in my home in the evening. What can I do? What can I do to really make a difference? We kind of struck the idea, if one local church could help one homeless family, we could just go a long ways in helping families. And it is just one homeless family that needs the help here. And then it's another one, but it's at the moment we're looking at this single mom here, or this young couple, or this grandma with two grandchildren that are in a car. And you've probably, because you're on the highway here, I'm sure they're stopping by the church here. Can you help me? And I was one of those people as associate pastor, and I was always bumbling around. I was down in South Kitsap, and a family, we were kind of by the freeway there at First Christian in Port Orchard. And this family would come in, or a person would come in, can you help me? I need gas, I need lodging. And I was always busy getting ready for worship team or small group or whatever it was, and I was always kind of going, whoo. And I always felt helpless and inadequate and then guilty about what I wasn't able to do. So sometimes we put them up in a hotel overnight. Okay, well, that's great. I mean, it is great. I mean, they need some place tonight. So we take them down and give them a motel. But that's just one night. Did that really solve the problem? And the answer is no, it didn't. They would go on, and I would go on again too. Those were my years past, one of my younger years. So I've been learning. We're still learning how to do this. I mean, we're trying to figure this thing out, how to really do it and do it well. But the idea, if one local church can help one homeless family, we actually can go a long ways. And we have some churches that are doing that. And actually, you are part of that. We have churches that give financially. We have churches that provide mentor teams and different parts. And all this, which actually brings me to the next part here, just a very simple strategy in how we do this. And that is local churches giving financially and to support housing. So it actually, if we're going to rent a house or do that, that's more than one church can do too. You can't step up and we'll do $1,000 and go rent a house. That's difficult for a local church to do. But if we work together, we can do that. So we have churches giving financially. We have local churches providing support teams. And that is, it's a mentor really. We assign, when they go into a home, we assign a mentor team to meet with that family every week. Sometimes it's women meeting with a mom. Sometimes it's a couple meeting with a couple. Sometimes it's a man meeting with a man. Sometimes there's men with children that we match a mentor up with. But the idea of the relational, spiritual, we use the term mentoring. I mean, I call it discipleship. You know, we want to come alongside them and talk about what it really means to walk with the Lord and bring a holistic approach to it. And then local churches that adopt the home. And that's a little more responsibility in terms of when a family moves out, make sure it's clean. Sometimes we have to provide furniture, but it's not, once the furniture's there, then it's there. It's not like every day. So just really, what does it take? Just take responsibility for this house right here, or this home, or this apartment. Just take full responsibility for doing that. And actually Cornerstone, just down the road here, they've actually done that. They've taken kind of the full meal deal. They provide mentors, and when somebody moves in, they clean it and get it ready for the next one, and have really stepped into a kind of a full responsibility. But churches can take this part, that part, and any part. So we just have What's good was we can work together. What can you do? What are you able to do? So if there's a part that's ringing with you a little bit this morning, yeah, I'd like to do that, or I really have a heart for meeting with people. I'd like to do that. So one of the hearts of what we do is the mentoring piece. So if you're a relational person, I'll just unabashedly say, put a plug in here. We need people to meet with folks, and it's a one-on-one. You got to put your key in the car, drive out the door, and go meet them. And it's just you and them. There's not nobody else knows, you know. And but it's a hard ministry, but it's also a greatly rewarding ministry. So, and then the last piece is our partnership with other ministries and agencies. We partner with Kitsap Community Resources. They do casework. And then the last few years here, we've also partnered with Youth for Christ. And we got just a second, I'll talk about that a little bit. And just churches, government agencies, Youth for Christ, KCR, about 6 different partnerships for a total of about 14 different housing units that we, I say units, some are like a group home we have in the Silverdale area. And another one is actually a group home, which is next up here will be a picture of our group home in Port Orchard. And this is in partnership with the Church of Christ in Port Orchard. This was their parsonage. It's a pretty large house. It's about a 3,000 square foot house. I think five bedrooms in it, and I mean it's just big. And it was sitting there. They were using it for meetings and some storage and share closet. And about 3 years ago, they said, "We got to put this thing to better use. This is a house. I mean, what can we do here?" And so we partnered with them and started putting some families in there. And then about almost 2 years ago now, we started partnering with Youth for Christ. Youth for Christ has a teen mom program you may not know about. They do foster care, and I think Youth for Christ is clubs and small groups with young people, but they do a lot more. And they have a teen mom program where they do mentoring of teen moms, and fairly often some of those teen moms end up homeless. And so you've actually got 3 teen moms in this home in Port Orchard. And when I say partner here, this is kind of a full meal deal in terms of the church own this home, and we don't pay them anything for it. They just give it. It's just been sitting there. And so they gave this home, and they provide mentors for it, work with Youth for Christ, do some training. We do the connection part and kind of help you over here and do some coordination part. And it's like, great, you know. And like I say, not all churches can do that. That's really the full meal deal part. But that would be kind of we say thank you for the church doing that. And those are the kind of things we're looking for. Landlords that will donate a home or maybe an apartment. Or maybe you've got an AD unit on side of your house where it's fully, you know, it's a home. And those are where we can put some small, maybe a mom and a child in there or some small things. So we are looking for donated homes. And rather than paying rent for them, that's leveraging our resources then, using what we already have and multiplying it. So how are we doing? Over the last 7 years, some of our outcomes are we've actually ministered to over 200 families. And our first year, we rented one half of a duplex. And that's all we had the first year. We're just trying to figure this thing out, talk to churches and get support. And but every 3 months, we put a family through that. It's called emergency housing for every 3 months. So that first year, I actually had five different families in that home the first year. So the first year, we helped 5 families. That was year one. And then we had a church that had a house. We rented that, and another church, and another church, and then this over there, and over here. Pretty soon, we had 10, 12 units, and we're putting families into them. And now we're starting to help a number of families. So we're just thankful for the people we're helping, and that works out to over 700 men, women, and children. Probably any one point, we have about 40 volunteers in terms of mentors, meeting with people, some of our leadership team, and just the different partnerships we have and volunteers. Over 30 partner churches over the years that have given financially or helped with mentors or supported us at some level in the last 7 years. And then out of that, we do kind of track how they're doing. And this is only a figure of do they move on to housing, more permanent housing. And of those that come into the units we've been a part of, about 70%, 73% actually have moved on to some kind of more permanent housing or other help. So that's helping someone from real homelessness in a car to great help. We want to be holistic in our ministry in terms of physical ministry, that's providing food and shelter, relational ministry in terms of helping them find work and address the family needs, and then also spiritual ministry, which only we as Christians can do, and that's provide the spiritual input to their lives. These are not just numbers. These are real people. And I've given you some numbers here, but it's not just about providing food and shelter. It's about the real spiritual ministry here. I'm going to just give you one quick story. A girl named Lisa, that's not her name, but she was divorced, had no money, no job, and two children. Youth for Christ actually became a part of this, and we had a house that was donated to us. She was in there for more than 3 months. She was in there for about a year. Long story short, she did find a job and got very self-fulfilled and self-sustaining and became part of a local church. And it's like, wow, that's our great hope. Now, not all are that story. We've got from that story to this story over here. And but these are people who, at some level, have had a touch with the Lord, and we want them to have a touch with the Lord. So what is the real need that the people have? Well, the real need is all of this. They do need housing, and they do need food. I think of the backpack ministry you have. I mean, these kids need food, and we need to do that. Evangelical churches need to address the real social, physical needs of where people are at. And they need education. And we can go on, you know, good parents, jobs, and all of that. I want to suggest that people do need more of the holistic demonstration of God's heart. And that's physical, it's relational, and it's spiritual. And ultimately, I mean, you and I know they need to be in right relationship with the Lord. I mean, that's it. If they get to there, some of this other stuff will start to fall off of them. The chains and the bondage and the blindness and all of that starts to, the eyes, I never knew this. And the reality is, they never knew it. And we hold the keys, folks. And that's what I say thank you for your part in that. And just a couple last things here. We do have the good news of freedom. John 8 says, you will know the truth, and indeed the truth will set you free. And the truth is in this book, but the truth is also a person, isn't it? Jesus said, I'm the truth. I mean, it's the Lord, it's God. He embodies truth. He says, I'm the way and the truth and the life. And then Romans 10 says, there is a salvation that comes from trusting in Christ. It is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. Believing in your heart that indeed, yes, Jesus is Lord. And all of a sudden, our eyes are opened and freedom starts to come to our hearts. Thank you so much for being with you today. There's information on the table back there. To say again, we do need help. We need some actually help on our leadership team. We've had a little transition of late, and so we got people, if you like to coordinate, you like organizing things, you're a relational leadership type person, we need that, and some mentors that also meet with people. And, you know, Pastor Jim said, it is about partnering together. You know, it'd be very difficult for a local church to do, one local church to do this. I mean, it just would. Just the qualification part. We kind of rely on KCR to qualify. And I wouldn't know how to do that very well. I still don't know how to do that very well. So this partnership with the community and churches kind of is what makes us work. So it really is truly a partnership of ministry in action as you partner with the community and other nonprofits and Christian churches like yourselves here. And so I just say thank you for your part in that. And it really allows us to bring the Lord's favor and blessing to our community. And trust me, you're a part of that. So Thank you. Actually, I want to pray for you before I stop. I know you're going to do some other things here. Can I pray for you guys? Lord, I thank you for this church, the history of this church here, and really the evangelical church, evangelical free church, and raising this worldwide ministry up. I thank you for the folks here and their heart for missions, their heart for this community, and their involvement in this community. So Lord, I just bless them today and speak blessing here. And growth and release of your ministry to this community. Thank you, Lord. Amen.